Let's go in-depth on Hawkeye sports with the Des Moines Register. It's time for Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO.
And welcome to Hawk Central here on 1460 KXNO, now 106.3 FM, along with the Des Moines Register. I am not Chad Lysico. He continues his vacation, his well-deserved vacation. My name is Andrew Downs. I'm the program director here on KXNO and a big Hawkeye fan. I like to fill in here whenever I can, but I am not alone. I'm joined once again here by the newest member of the Iowa Beat, Kennington Smith of the Des Moines Register. What's up, Kennington?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How was your holiday?
Holiday, it was great. Thank you to Joseph Kress. I have to give a shout out to Joseph Kress, who's a photographer at the Iowa City Press Citizen, who invited me out to spend the 4th with his family, and it was a great time. Got a chance to see some fireworks in Coralville, which was a great show. So first 4th in Iowa, I have to give it an A+.
All right, that's good to hear. It was a great weekend, and should be a really fun show today, as we're going to talk a lot of Hawkeye basketball. In the next segment, we're going to talk about Kennington's first ever USA Today byline, a big moment in his career, and then we'll talk about that as we move through the show here. But we want to get things started with Matthew Bain from the Des Moines Register. He's been on this show several times. He's on KXNO quite a bit, talking recruiting and a lot more. Matthew, thank you for the time today.
Of course, man. Glad to be here.
Before we get into some of the recruiting, some of the Hawkeye stuff, you have ascended to the role of Deputy Sports Director with the Des Moines Register. First of all, congratulations. What does that mean for your job and then for Hawkeye fans that have come to kind of rely on your recruiting coverage?
Well, first of all, thank you, man. I appreciate that. What it means for my job, I'll be doing, you know, less writing and less reporting. And more editing and kind of planning and strategizing and helping our writers out. But I still will do some reporting. So the way it's basically kind of the way the dominoes have fallen and the chips have fallen is that I'm still going to lead our basketball recruiting coverage. It won't be quite as frequent, but I'll still be doing that. And then the new reporter that we're going to hire is going to lead our football recruiting coverage, and then help me out with basketball recruiting. So I'll still put out some mailbags here and there. I'm going to Omaha these next couple weekends for, you know, the AAU basketball live period. So I'll have content from there. So you'll still see some bylines from me, but a lot less.
What's the plan then for that football recruiting spot? Is that something you guys are looking to hire? Can somebody listening right now grab a really cool job in the industry?
Yeah, actually, go to my Twitter or our sports coach's Twitter, Zach Craiglow. We've posted the listing for it. Basically, it's a really, really fun job. Here's what you do. You'd lead our football recruiting coverage. You'd help me out with basketball recruiting coverage. Then you'd help out on our college team, whether it's Iowa football Saturdays or Iowa State football Saturdays. Then you'd also help out with college basketball throughout the year, doing Drake, doing some Iowa State and Iowa. And then you're also going to be writing some really fun high school features and high school analysis throughout the year. So you really get to have your toes kind of dipped in a bunch of different areas. I love the job. It's an awesome job. I mean, I can really say that, you know, honestly, not even just, you know, political speak here. I can honestly say it's a really fun job, and I would highly suggest anybody apply for it and work for me. It'll be fun.
There you go. You can have Matt Bain as your boss and Zach Craiglow and everybody else over there at the Register. That's a really cool opportunity. Hopefully somebody cool will snag that. And I'm sure when they do, we will have them here on Hawk Central and on KXNO regularly as well. And good to hear that you're still keeping your feet in the water here, Matt. And we can still come to you, especially when we talk basketball recruiting. But before we get to that, I did want to talk about a little bit of Hawkeye football recruiting, if we're able to pick your brain there from kind of what you've already done. I guess first, just kind of the general question, how is Iowa's next class coming together? It seemed like it kind of got to a slow start. There's been more and more commits and offers in these last couple of weeks. How are things coming together right now for the Hawkeyes?
They're on a fine pace. I think they're probably around average right now. I think they've got 7 recruits in the 2022 class, and you might have Iowa fans freaking out a little bit because the Cyclones have, I believe, 12 or 13, so that might make them worried. But I think 7's fine right now. Iowa has strong relationships with a lot of guys in this class, so just because they don't have as many commits doesn't mean that they're not going to wind up with as many commits. some of the headliners to me are the two in-state guys, to be honest. Aaron Graves, the Southeast Valley defensive lineman, committed way back in June 2019. That feels like forever ago now. But he still is the number one rated recruit in Iowa's 2022 recruiting class, and he probably will wind up that way. He's just about a top 100 guy, four stars, just a beast defensive end who will fit in really well with Iowa's scheme. They've picked up a couple guys since then. Jacob Bostic is a really nice receiver out of Illinois. Jack Dotzler is a strong offensive lineman from up in Wisconsin. But I really like another in-state guy, Cale Crow. He's an offensive lineman out of Ballard. Three-star guy, kind of in that top 750 range in the country. He's been on, you know, a lot of people's radar for a few years, but it was just about when he was going to crack that Power 5 rank. Over the past year, he piled up, I think, like 12 or 15 Group of 5 FCS offers. And then Minnesota kind of started those Power 5 dominoes a couple months ago. He camped at Iowa State, camped at Iowa. Iowa offered him right after, and he committed a week later. So who knows what would have happened if Iowa State would have offered, but he did wind up going with Iowa. I love the guy. I think he's a really good basketball player, too, 6'6" center for Ballard. They were playing in the state championship game this year. Just a really athletic offensive lineman who's going to do a lot of good things for the Hawkeys.
That's fantastic. Go ahead, Kennington.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, if I could jump in with you, Brian, first to congratulate you on your new job. You've edited a few of my pieces. Thankful to have you. Thank you to have you on the editor side to keep me sharp and make sure I'm putting out good content. But on the football side, obviously when we're talking about Iowa, tight end is a huge position in the program. Iowa just lost out on a priority recruit, Andrew Keller, who went to the in-state mm-hmm. Cyclones. I understand that is a big need for this class. So you miss out on Keller. They're in play for another recruit who's kind of considering Iowa or other options. What do you foresee how that position group is going to shape out in the 2022 class?
Yeah, this has been kind of a weird recruiting cycle for Iowa, because normally tight end is, they sell themselves as tight end U. It's normally a position of strength in terms of recruiting. And I still think that they'll wind up getting good players at that position. But it is notable that they've missed on a lot of their big targets. There was Eli Raridan, the player out of Valley High School, who was considering Iowa, Notre Dame, and Iowa State. He picks Notre Dame. Then there was Andrew Keller, the person that you're alluding to, Kenny, out of the Madison area, kind of a top 500 high three-star guy. He was down to Iowa and Iowa State. In a lot of years, you know, a person's going to pick Iowa. But, you know, with Iowa State's recent momentum and kind of the success that they've had at the tight end position, Andrew Keller wound up picking Iowa State. And then probably the top target that Iowa has had for a long time at tight end in 2022 is Micah Riley-Ducker out of Bellevue, Nebraska. And everything points to him picking Auburn. He's actually announcing today, and everything points to him picking Auburn. So those are three misses for Iowa at a position that you aren't used to them missing on. Does that mean they won't get somebody good at the position? No. I'm still confident they'll get a great tight end. They're probably looking to add at least one, but maybe two in this class, probably depending on which guys they're able to get realistically close with. They've got a couple other offers out, but nothing really strong. So it'll definitely be a position to watch over these, you know, coming weeks and months. Maybe they'll wait to see how guys do in the fall. There are a couple strong tight ends in the state. Brady McCullough out of Ankeny is a very good wide receiver tight end blend. He's like 6'4", 210 pounds. He's got some FCS offers. Maybe he could be a guy to watch. We'll just have to see.
Interesting on the tight end thing. Are there any other positions that Iowa is kind of needing that they've circled that they really need to kind of replace some guys or have a big name or two in this class? Is there a position or two they're really focused on?
I don't know if it's more so than usual this year, but Iowa always tries to focus on the defensive line and get some studs on the defensive line. They've got two so far. So two out of their seven commits so far are both defensive ends. I mentioned Aaron Graves. he's their top-rated prospect in the class. And then their second-highest-rated prospect in the class is also a defensive end, Caden Crawford out of Lansing, Kansas. So they always put a premium on getting strong interior defensive linemen and defensive ends. They've got two great defensive ends so far, and I would look for them to probably add at least a couple more on the defensive line.
You know, a little earlier you mentioned your recruiting mailbags, and you tackled this in a mailbag a little while back, but I wanted to hit on it again. You talk about the kind of freak athletes, the multi-sport athletes, and Cooper DeJean is certainly that. He's coming to Iowa to play safety. Is there any chance that we see him at another position or maybe even in another sport?
No, probably not another sport, although he could probably do some things for the track team if he really wanted to. Football didn't work out for him. But I think football will work out for him. No, he is being recruited as a safety / defensive back, and I think he will play safety, kind of that maybe that cash position, because that's the way Iowa wants him. He did play quarterback at OABCIG, and he was recruited at quarterback. Northern Iowa liked him at quarterback. Some other FCS programs liked him at quarterback, and Virginia also liked him at quarterback. But Iowa liked him more as a safety. And it's really just all about fit, all about positional fit. At Iowa, I think he is perfect for that cash position. You know, other schools might not have a position like that, so they're looking at him more as a quarterback. But I really do think he's going to fit well there. Iowa has kind of sold him on being that next cash guy, that big-time defensive back. And they also really like that he did play quarterback in high school and was a successful quarterback. Because usually, if you're a good quarterback, you know what good quarterbacks like to do. And that'll help you a lot as a safety.
Ankeny's Brody Brecht is set to come to Iowa this fall. But he has turned a lot of heads, Matt, on the baseball field, particularly on the pitching mound, where last night he threw a no-hitter, and he's got the velocity that MLB teams are looking for. He's certainly projected to be a top few-round pick in the MLB draft coming up this weekend. How worried should Iowa fans be about the allure of pro baseball for Brody Brecht, this guy that we've been excited about being in a Hawkeye football jersey for a long time?
Man, this is a tough one. But just based off of my gut, I would say that Hawkeye fans probably don't have a ton to be worried about, just because as much as Brody Brecht loves baseball and being a professional baseball player, gosh, that sounds like a great opportunity. His dream since he can remember anything was to play Hawkeye football. That's been his goal for a long, long, long time. So I think that he's open to the possibility of getting drafted to a major league team and, you know, starting in the farm system. But I do think his signing bonus would need to be pretty high in order for him to turn down Iowa. And maybe if he's like a first round guy, if he somehow slips up to the first round and is maybe as a top half of the first round, maybe a team could offer him that type of money. But it's kind of sounding like he'll maybe be in the top few rounds. So maybe second, third, fourth. And I just don't know if a team drafting in that position would be willing to offer the money that I personally think he would need to turn down an opportunity to play Hawkeye football. Because here's the deal. He could still go play professional baseball after college. It's not like he turns this down now and he'll never be able to do it. He is signed to play both football and baseball at Iowa. We know that's really hard to do. We'll see how it happens over these next 4 years if he does indeed go to Iowa. But just because he's turning down the MLB now doesn't mean he's turning it down for life. So long story short, be worried. Yes, I would not be extremely worried.
Well, that's
if I could,
go ahead.
I could jump in on another, a big time prospect, Southeast folks, Xavier Wampa, the number one safety in the country, just made the 7-on-7 dream team with 247 Sports. I would like to, it's a two-part question I'd like to ask. First, kind of where do you think Iowa stands with him? And secondly, in this era of NIL, and I know we're going to touch on this a little bit later, for me, I feel like there is an opportunity for Iowa to gain some ground in his recruiting when you consider that, you know, if he were to stay in-state, and, you know, I can't guarantee that he would play from day one, but they have a very veteran secondary. A lot of these guys we expect to go into the draft next year. There will be opportunity for him to play, you know, from day one. And there's also a lot for a lot of opportunity for him to make money in NIL for being kind of like a hometown hero, you know, a five-star, number one in his position, coming to Iowa. I think that that's something that maybe, you know, businesses and marketers could rally around and put some money into him. So do you think that, you know, with the opportunity to play early and maybe these new opportunities with NIL, and he might be able to earn more from Iowa day one than maybe necessarily going to Ohio State and having to kind of prove himself and earn money later down the road? Do you see that maybe being a factor in his decision? So that's my two-part. Where does Iowa stand? And do you think that NIL might be able to kind of level that playing field for the Hawkeyes in his recruiting race?
Well, I'll start with the NIL. I actually talked to him about NIL a few weeks ago. And listen, as a recruiting reporter, you know, sometimes you got to take what people say with a grain of salt, because they're going to say, you know, what they think they should say, you know, what they think coaches will want to hear them say. So he told me that NIL is going to have nothing to do with his decision. He said that it all evens out in the end, whether or not you get more money right away or, you know, money later on. It's all going to even out. Every school is going to be pretty much the same. So he just wants to go where he's going to, you know, set himself up to be an NFL player and win a national championship, stuff like that. So that's what he said. Do I think that is, you know, 100% the entire way he feels? You know, probably not. I think that, like anybody, he is going to be looking at NIL opportunities. And even though that might not be, you know, 20% of his decision, could it be 5%? Could it be 10%? Maybe. So, yeah, I think Iowa would be smart to, like you said, Kenny, maybe sell the fact that, hey, you are going to be basically legend status if the number one safety in the country from Iowa commits to Iowa. There's going to be, you know, endorsement opportunities. There's going to be advertising opportunities here earlier than there would be at Ohio State or Texas A&M or Notre Dame. But, you know, you believe me, those three schools, which seem to be, you know, pretty high ranked, higher than Iowa in his recruitment, that's Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Texas A&M. They're also selling him on the fact that, hey, if you are a Buckeye football player, if you're a Texas A&M football player, everybody in the local community is going to want to advertise with you. Could it be right away? You know, we can conjecture that probably it wouldn't be as soon as Iowa, but it could happen over the next few years. To answer your first question, yeah, so Iowa is definitely in contention. He just took an unofficial visit to campus kind of during that June 25th through 27th big official visit weekend that a lot of prospects came to for Iowa. He was an unofficial visitor, but he was hanging out with all the guys. But if I had to say right now, I think Iowa would be fourth place. I think the big three that a lot of people are looking at for Xavier Nwankwo is Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Texas A&M. And just me personally, I think I'm in the minority on this, but I think Notre Dame might be the school to watch. That's just kind of a gut feeling I have from talking to him and talking to some people, but I think a lot of people think that Ohio State might be in the lead, but Iowa would probably be just outside that top three, in my opinion.
That is Matthew Bain of the Des Moines Register. I'm Andrew Downs, along with Kennington Smith here on Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO 106.3 FM. And we talked a little bit. We got into the name, image, likeness there. So let's stay there, guys. And Matthew, my guy Keith Murphy made the case on Sound Off Sunday night that this could be a good thing for Iowa schools. Much like Kennington was saying, you know, no pro competition. We love our sports stars, and especially the in-state guys could probably capitalize earlier than they'd be able to in another big program or a big city. Do you think overall, is this a good or bad thing for the competitiveness of Iowa schools when it comes to the recruiting trail, the name, image, likeness opportunities?
So it's going to help the Iowa schools and basically every school retain local or in-state talent. At least for guys, you know, outside that top 10, top 25. For the national level talents, like a five-star guy, a top 10 guy, they're going to be looking more at national level NIL opportunities. Omaha Bilyeu, for instance, the Waukee star who's transferring to Montford Academy next year. His NIL conversations are going to be different than, you know, a three-star's NIL conversations, because he's talking to a Kentucky, and a Kentucky's saying, hey, you have 17,000 followers on Instagram right now. Come here. We're going to elevate your brand. We're going to get you up into 100,000, 200,000, to where you can make, you know, like $7,000-$8,000 per promoted post on Instagram. So that's kind of the national level conversation that the national level prospects are having. Now, for an Iowa or an Iowa State or a Drake or a UNI looking at more of a local prospect, I think that's where their bread and butter will be. I think a guy like Josh Dix, the Council Bluffs Lincoln combo guard, who Iowa is really recruiting. He's kind of a high three-star guy. He's not going to get national opportunities, but he could get plenty of local opportunities. And if an in-state guy commits to the Hawkeyes, you better believe people in Iowa State are going to want to advertise using him. I think it's also great for mid-majors. I think it's an opportunity for mid-majors to perhaps combat the transfer portal, because there's going to be more opportunities for an in-state mid-major guy to make money at the in-state mid-major as opposed to transferring to a high major and just being a rotation piece. Like, for instance, Bowen Bourne, he's going to have some opportunity to make money up in Northern Iowa. He's an in-state guy. He's somebody who people have been following for 3 or 4 years. I could totally see people in the local Cedar Falls community using him to advertise. He's not going to make Omaha Blue money, but I could definitely see him making a few grand here and there over a few months at different advertising opportunities. And if he's a guy who has a great, you know, sophomore, junior year and high majors are coming after him, is he going to stay perhaps more likely at UNI if there's a money-making opportunity as opposed to, say, Wisconsin wants him? Nobody's going to know about him in Wisconsin. So I don't know. I think overall it's a good thing for Iowa schools, maybe just not in the way that people think. I don't think that this is going to help them with top 50 guys, with national guys, because they just can't provide the same type of brand recognition that a Kentucky can in basketball or that an Ohio State can in football. But in terms of those high three-star, four-star guys, and especially the local guys, yes, it can only help.
The Iowa Athletic Department has kind of historically been, to a lot of our chagrins, reactive rather than proactive. But I'll say I was pretty surprised a couple of Fridays ago when Iowa released the flight program and the video that came along with it, and really kind of seemed to get out in front of the name, image, likeness thing rather than, you know, kind of sticking their heads in the sands. Iowa has some real big athletes right now, and Caitlin Clark and Spencer Lee and Tyler Goodson was all Big Ten last year. A lot of opportunity, I think. Obviously, Jordan Bohannon and his role in this whole thing. A lot of opportunity to kind of capitalize on this early on. Do you think Iowa is in a good position right now to kind of capitalize on this first round of name, image, likeness?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that they've been smart in the way they're handling this. They have been proactive, like you said, not necessarily reactive. And they've got some people who can really uniquely benefit with NIL. Spencer Lee, I think, is perhaps the best example, or Caitlin Clark, because in Iowa, wrestling and women's basketball are bigger than they are in most other states. So you've got a really unique opportunity for not just the two main sports, football and men's basketball. You've got a really unique opportunity for whether it's an Olympic sport or just other perhaps non-revenue sports, which are big in a state like Iowa because college sports are so huge here. I mean, I think Caitlin Clark is patting herself on her back right now because she was down to Iowa, Iowa State, and Notre Dame. If she had gone to Notre Dame, she's not going to have the NIL opportunities that she has here in Iowa. But I could very, very well see her, over the course of her Iowa career, making $100,000. I do not think that's out of the question. I think any local business in Iowa City is going to jump at the opportunity to use Caitlin Clark to promote their product or to advertise their product. And same thing with Spencer Lee. I saw a tweet the other day that he's like a top 10 athlete in the Big Ten in terms of following on social media. Businesses are going to eat that up. He's going to make so much money. Iowa is being smart about it. With the flight program, they're being proactive instead of reactive. And they really have some uniquely qualified athletes to really benefit from NIL, which prospects and recruits will see, and they'll be impressed by that.
And if I could just jump in terms of the conversation of reactive versus proactive, not just NIL, but I think just in general, the days of being reactive are done, you know, in all facets. You know, kids today, they have more information than recruits of years past. They are more aware of things than recruiting in years past. You know, they're on social media, they're building, they're following. So they want to be on the cutting edge. They want to be on the front edge, and they want to align themselves with, you know, corporations, with business people, and with schools who are going to be ahead of the curve. So, you know, for Iowa to get ahead of this, this was a great first step. But I think just in general, the old ways of not, you know, being on the front edge and maybe kind of like sitting back and waiting to see how things play out are going to be behind them. Because if you're, you know, being left behind in information and new technology trends or whatever the case may be, then you're going to be, you know, left behind in recruiting, which is going to ultimately affect your performance on the field. So I think this is just, you know, the first step of a sign of things to come, and Iowa kind of having to step out of their normal comfort zone and having to really embrace change and being on the front edge of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it is good to see them, again, be proactive about this, because I know for a lot of Iowa fans, this athletic department has not been that for the most part in a lot of different ways. They've kind of been reacting to everything, and to get out in front of this, I think, is a really big deal. This is Hawk Central here on 1460 KXNO 106.3 FM. I'm Andrew Downs. He's Kennington Smith. We've got Matt Bain on right now, the deputy sports editor for the Des Moines Register. I have to say that with kind of a different tone, Matt. You're no longer just the recruiting guy. But Iowa's recruiting director Tyler Barnes tweeted last week about negative recruiting, about how much he's hearing about it and how off the mark that seems to him. He gave a really kind of good reason why, hey, if they're negative recruiting, why are they doing that instead of pitching the positives about themselves? But fans obviously started to guess who is doing the negative recruiting. I could look north. I could look west. Anything behind that cryptic tweet from Tyler Barnes last week?
I don't think there's really anything behind it. I think any recruiting director for any college football program across the country could have tweeted that if they wanted to. Tyler, to his credit, is very, you know, vocal and a visible presence for Iowa football recruiting. So he got out there and put the tweet out there. But negative recruiting is common. You know, it's not just directed towards Iowa. It's directed toward basically every school across the country. I don't think every school in the country does it, but I still think it's a very common thing that I think you'd be hard-pressed to talk to one recruit out there who hasn't heard at least one component of negative recruiting. So I don't know if there's anything that Tyler heard that, you know, particularly got him peeved that maybe motivated him to put that tweet out there. You know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. If I was in his position, I might do the same thing. But no, I don't think there's anything, you know, unique in this situation. Perhaps in the past couple years, you know, teams could have been using Iowa's racism scandal with Chris Doyle. They could have been using that as negative recruiting. So I don't know if Tyler may have heard something about that and that motivated him. But in terms of just people using negative recruiting, you know, that's not unique to Iowa. That's everywhere.
Well, a unique thing about recruiting this past year has been the pandemic. How strange has recruiting and even covering recruiting been over the past 15 months or so?
I was so lucky to be the recruiting reporter during the pandemic because, you know, people like my friends Cody, Chad, Tommy, Mark, everybody, Pete, you know, they had less to do because a lot of their jobs are event-based. You know, as a beat reporter for a college team, you're going to the games, you're going to the press conferences, you're going to all these things. Whereas for me, recruiting was still happening. You know, high school sports, for the most part, didn't actually slow down, at least not the ones where there's recruiting happening. And there were all these amazing stories. I mean, my gosh, I walked into a gold mine with the whole Arlen Bruce situation in terms of all those stories that came from that, with him transferring over and the drama that unfolded between him and the High School Athletic Association trying to get him eligible. I mean, holy smokes, I was so lucky that happened. And people still were recruiting. They just weren't going out. You know, like schools still needed to recruit for the 2021 class. They just couldn't go out and watch them, but the recruiting was still happening. So I still had stuff to cover. Am I glad that it's back to normal? Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I very much missed
going out to, you know, Minneapolis and Milwaukee and Kansas City during these July live periods. I'm sure the college coaches missed it much more than I did, but I'm excited to get back out there, kind of back to the norm of things. I was fortunate that recruiting was affected a little bit differently than just regular sports.
And what I'll say on this is there's probably not a better time for Iowa to bring recruits on campus than right now. Like you said, we spoke on the racial disparities, and for the last year, you know, all the recruits have been seeing have been things that have been coming out on social media and on the internet, and things are being reported about the racial disparities and the things that are on campus. So now, you know, a year later, we spoke on the last show about how things are changing within the program. There's no better time for recruits to actually get on campus and get in front of the players and their faces and get in front of the coaches and actually see it for themselves. So this is a great thing for Iowa that they can, you know, that campuses are back open and they can bring recruits on campus so they can get a firsthand look for themselves to see that things have changed. Of course, when you are looking at things over social media, you're looking at things over the internet, you're talking to other coaches, and they're saying these things, you know, can you call it negative recruiting? Maybe. Could you call it a legitimate concern? Absolutely. That they're saying that, you know, you see these things that are going on with Iowa, that might be something that you want to consider. So the fact that they can get on campus now and talk to players like Tyrone Tracy and see that things have changed is only a good thing for Iowa. So, you know, the pandemic year was crazy with recruiting, but now, you know, coming into the new year where things are being opened up and recruits can come on campus and get that in-person feel for themselves and feel the culture change for themselves instead of hearing it over Zoom or taking coaches' word for it over text. I feel like Iowa is in a good position to kind of, you know, strike down the negative recruiting or the legitimate concerns or whatever you want to call it that have, you know, been kind of a stigma for the program over the last year or so.
That's a really, really good point. You're exactly right. Get in there, show them what the program is actually about rather than just having them read about it. Matt Bain, one last thing for you here. One of my favorite things the Register has brought to our community and to sports in general in Iowa over the last several years, maybe pushing almost a decade now, has been the Iowa Sports Awards. I know that they're kind of right around the corner. What's the plan for this year's program?
So this one will be virtual again. It's happening on July 15th. You can just go to the Des Moines Register, you know, High School Sports Awards, and there will be a link there for anybody who's interested. It's, you know, it's basically the same exact thing, just over a YouTube live stream, just over a live stream. But we've got a lot of athletes announcing awards this year. Kevin Garnett is going to be announcing the Boys and Girls Basketball Awards. I believe Michael Johnson, legendary Olympian, is going to be announcing the track awards. I think Aaron Rodgers is announcing the football awards. I mean, we've got a pretty loaded lineup of athletes and celebrities announcing the awards. So be sure to tune into that. It's a really fun night. Not too long either. We try to keep it nice, quick, short, and sweet. And it's a great way to recognize the awesome, awesome talent that is here in Iowa High School sports.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool way to honor those guys. And we've had big names here come here for the in-person events. Hopefully we'll get back to that next year. But this virtual event, I saw the lineup, and you mentioned some of the people, but it's just a crazy lineup of big, big name athletes who are involved with this. So that's very cool. Check that out July 15th. Go to the DesMoinesRegister.com to check that out. Matt, thank you as always for the time. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Have fun.
All right. Have a good one. That's segment one. We went long there. Yeah, we went long there, Kennington. But when we come back, I want to talk basketball with you. Obviously, Joe Wieskamp has made a decision. Looking forward to the team. You've done a cool feature on Tony Perkins I want to talk about and some other things like that. So we will be right back. This is Hawk Central here on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO 106.3 FM along with the Des Moines Register.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
And welcome back to Hawk Central here on KXNO. It's 1460 AM, 106.3 FM, and you can check us out at thedesmoinesregister.com. My name is Andrew Downs. I'm in for Chad Lystico this week as he continues a summer vacation before the gauntlet of football season arrives in just a couple of weeks with Big Ten Media Days. That's hard to imagine, but before we know it, we're going to be there. I am joined by Kennington Smith. He is the newest reporter for the Des Moines Register, although there is a job opening for a recruiting reporter if anybody's anybody's interested in that. But Kennington, thank you again for sticking around. I want to talk some basketball here. This happened after our show last week, and so you and I haven't had a chance to talk about it. It's something that I think most Iowa fans had expected, and certainly after Joe Wieskamp did what he did at the NBA Combine over in Chicago, it kind of seemed like a foregone conclusion. But Friday afternoon, Joe Wieskamp finally makes it official. He is headed to the NBA. Were you surprised by this at all? And I guess what reaction have you seen from Hawkeye fans?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I think that everybody was expecting him to leave. If you saw what he did at the combine, I mean, he showed up, in top physical condition, 4% body fat. He had a long wingspan. He was top in vertical. He was top in agility drills. He shot the lights out in the gym in his team scrimmages. And when you look at a player like Joe Wieskamp, he's exactly what the NBA is looking for. If you watch the NBA, you know that now a bit in the NBA, analytics will tell you that three-pointers and easy twos are the way to play. Joe Wieskamp is a sharpshooter. He has long arms. He can get into the passing lanes and disrupt things, and he can stay in front of somebody on defense, which was shown by the agility drill. So I'm looking at, players in the NBA like Joe Harris, Kyle Korver. I look at Andre Roberson, if he were to have, a three-point shot, somebody who can defend, somebody who can hit the three, a typical 3-and-D player, no team can have too many of guys like that. And Joe Wieskamp fits that mold. He's somebody who I think, if he lands in the right situation, can really carve out a nice niche for himself and be a solid role player for years to come. So he went out to the combine. He showed up in the right condition. He performed well. So, I don't think that it was really a surprise that he decided to keep his name in the draft. Do I think that he's going to be, lottery picker, anything like that? No, but do I think that he'll get drafted in and find a nice, role for himself in the league? Absolutely. So I wasn't surprised at all. And the reception that I've seen from Hawkeyes fans has been very positive. They appreciate what he's done for the program. And I think that everybody knew that he was about to take this next step. So it was expected. And I think the Hawkeyes fans were really excited to see what he was able to do at the combine and kind of show who he is and showcase who he is that may have not been seen or people may not be aware of on a national level what he brings to the table.
Yeah, he got overshadowed, and understandably so, by Luka Garza those last couple of seasons. I mean, you have the National Player of the Year on your team. You're gonna feed him, and he's gonna garner so much attention. I think it was great for Wieskamp to go to the combine and really kind of showcase himself, not just on the court, but the measurables he had were incredible, and I'm sure any interviews he had he nailed, because he's a really good quality dude. And so I'm excited for him, excited to watch the draft to see where he will land. Luka Garza had a different combine experience. I'm sure he killed it in the interviews or any conversations. I mean, the work ethic there, the passion, the want to is all there for Luka Garza, but his measurables aren't where you would want them for a guy his size. He's not maybe as athletic as you would want a guy to be. And then he had that groin injury, which kept him out of the games. And I feel like that may have been the place where he could, much like Wieskamp, could showcase what he could really do. It's one thing to look at the measurables. It's one thing to kind of look how a guy did in college, but to see a guy out there and see how he competes against people at this level, at this kind of elite level of college basketball, when we're talking about the combine, the kind of elite level just before the NBA, I think Wieskamp proved to a lot of people and probably to himself that he can compete at that, and it was too bad Garza wasn't able to do that. Now, he shot the ball well, and again, I'm sure that teams will want him in their locker room as kind of that chemistry guy, but where do you think Garza's draft prospects are right now as we look ahead? He's projected as, kind of a late second rounder. It's kind of strange to say, but could the National Player of the Year in college basketball not get drafted into the NBA?
Yeah, and I think that, once again, we're talking about what the NBA is now. We're looking for players who are athletic and can really play in multiple positions. I think that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. When I was on with Chad a few weeks ago, I said that my question for Luka Garza is, when you get put into a 5-on-5 situation and we're switching and it's not zone defenses, what are you going to be able to do on the perimeter? He is obviously a very talented offensive player. His production speaks for itself. His college career speaks for itself, but we're talking about translating that to the NBA. Is he going to have enough shot opportunities on offense to score 25, 35 points a game like he was doing in college? Probably not. So on the defensive end, you know, are you going to be able to be somebody who can stay in front of a guard if we're getting put into a switch situation where you're not going to be protected by zone defense necessarily? We didn't get that answer. So we'll have to see, you know, in the summer league, I think will be his next opportunity to truly showcase that. But I think that Luka Garza's put enough tape out there where teams know kind of what player he is. Offensively, defensively, obviously, he's a big team guy. He's a smart guy from what I understand and talking to different people in the media space. He is a stand-up guy. He's a great person, somebody that you truly will want to have in the locker room. So we'll see, you know, what his draft prospects look like. He has shed a lot of weight. So, you know, maybe things like defending on the perimeter and being kind of that versatile guy on defense who's able to switch will show itself in time. I hate that he didn't get that opportunity at the combine. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, teams know who Luka Garza is and what he can bring to the table. So we'll just see where he lands. You know, in some situations, you're talking about being a late second round pick. If we're getting into, you know, pick 48, pick 49, pick 50, I wouldn't be surprised if Luka Garza's camp is telling teams, hey, don't draft me so I can have the opportunity as an undrafted free agent to pick the perfect spot for me. You know, is it more important to get drafted just to say that you got drafted and you may not be in the best situation, or being an undrafted player where you can sit back and truly pick, like, okay, this team fits my play style. This team is telling me the right things in terms of developing me as a player. This team has a front court where I think I can go in and make an immediate impact. When you're at the draft stock that he's at and it's kind of touch and go, you are looking for the right fit for you. It's not so much, you know, I feel like I have to be drafted just, you know, to say that I was drafted. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But if we're getting into, you know, kind of later the point of the draft, personally, I would prefer to not get picked up just to put myself in the perfect situation for me. And he's a very self-aware young man. He's a smart kid. He knows, you know, which team and which play styles will be best suited for him. So that's kind of what I foresee in terms of his draft stock.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because he is the type of player who, if he finds the right situation, could really make an impact and put together a career, but it's not going to fit with everybody necessarily. And so that's a good thought, because, yeah, you want your name called on draft night, right? You want that to happen. You want that for yourself, and people want that. I want that for Luka Garza. I want that for Iowa's basketball program. If Iowa gets two guys drafted in this NBA draft, that'd be great for recruiting and national acclaim and all of that stuff. But you're right, if he can kind of find the situation where he's going to fit or where they believe in him, I think that's probably ultimately much more important. With the departure of Luka Garza, Joe Wieskamp, CJ Frederick, Iowa loses a lot. I think something like two-thirds of their offensive production from last season is now gone. And the Hawkeyes are going to look different next season. We talked a bit last week, Kennington, about the Murray twins and what we expect from them, in particular Chris Murray. I know you've written about this, but you also talked with Tony Perkins last week when you got a chance to speak with the players. How does he feel about his role on this team going into next season?
Right, and Tony Perkins is somebody who obviously is very gifted physically, but for him last year, a lot of it was the mental game. You know, you come, you know, at this level, when you're playing Power 5 basketball, every single person on that team, from players like Luka Garza all the way to a walk-on, you were the best player on your high school team. So for a player like Tony Perkins to kind of come in and play 5 minutes. There were some games where he played 13 minutes, and that might have been his season high. There were some games where he came in and played 2 minutes. There were games where he played 6 minutes. There were games where he played, you know, 0 minutes. So when you're playing on minutes of all types of different variations, it's easy for you to get into your own head, and you go out there and you're like, okay, I only have 3 minutes to play. You know, I don't want to make a wrong decision because that's going to decrease my playing time. I don't want to, you know, try to do too much. I just want to kind of, you know, do my thing, which is what he said when I spoke to him, is I was just trying to find a role anywhere and just do good things. But that kind of affected his confidence. And as a result, he wasn't a major fixture on offense. He kind of just found a role on defense and diving for loose balls and doing kind of little things to prove himself to the coaching staff. But coming into this offseason, he's been somebody, you know, like Chris Murray, is somebody that players have pinpointed as, this is somebody who we expect to take a major step forward. So I think that he can be an X factor for the team. Obviously, his defensive skills speak for themselves. He's definitely looking forward to taking more of a step forward in the offensive category. He can shoot. He was, you know, a near 40% shooter from three-point range when he was in high school. So he has that ability. He didn't get those opportunities last year, but the team was stacked last year with experience and talented players. So, you know, he's somebody, you know, like Chris Murray, who I think is going to take a step forward. and be a true X factor on the team. But for him, his physical ability was always there. For him, it was more of a mental game. He said he's done a lot of reading in the offseason. He's done a lot of meditating in the offseason to get his mental game and his mental health correct, because that is, you know, just a bigger part, if not a bigger part, of what you do on the court than the physical game. But he feels good right now. He's confident, and he has the confidence of his coaches and his teammates. So he's somebody who I think could be, you know, X factor for the Hawkeyes this year and replacing a lot of the talent that they lost.
There's still a lot of meat on this basketball bone, Kennington, but we're going to move on here. We got plenty of time to talk about Hawkeye hoops as we move forward. But as we get close to the close of this show here today, I wanted to give you a minute to talk about your first national byline with USA Today, which happened over the weekend. First of all, congratulations. That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about the story, where people can find it, and how it feels to kind of, you know, make that jump in your career.
Yes, thank you so much. So it's actually funny, Zach Craiglow, who Bain spoke on earlier as our coach, our editor. And before I even came out to Iowa, you know, we knew NIL was coming. He asked me, he gave me a list of things that people were already reporting on at the local level about Iowa and kind of their place in NIL. And I said, for me, what I would want to know if I was a reader or if I was a casual fan is where would Iowa compare an earning potential to the Big Ten competitors, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, or where does the Big Ten conference compare to other Power Five conferences in earning potential? And from there, it just kind of turned into a story about, you know, which college programs offer the most earning potential. And as I was talking to, you know, professors and lawyers and marketing executives, I found that it's not that black and white. You know, you could be a high-level recruit at a major Power Five school, but you might not have as much earning potential as somebody like the Cavender twins, which the casual college athletics watcher might not know, but they're twin sisters at Fresno State, and they're all-conference basketball players, and they have over 3 million followers on TikTok. So they are going to be more marketable and more profitable than maybe, you know, a Power Five football player who might be a national name, but he doesn't have that same social following. And that's important to corporations. So the question kind of turned into, how important is your college brand to your personal earning potential in NIL? So I was blessed to have that opportunity. That was my first ever story pitch, you know, at the Des Moines Register. So awesome. I was blessed that it was able to make it up to a national byline. So, you know, thank you to Zach for, you know, giving me that opportunity. And, you know, thank you to USA Today for working with me and helping me put that out there. But this is why I wanted to come out here and work for the Register. It's a high visible paper. It's an award-winning paper. It's a paper that's going to challenge me and put me on the national platform that I'm looking for. So this was the first one. I know for a fact that it's not going to be the last, and I'm just looking forward to everything that's going to come with being in this position. You can, you know, find it on the national, you know, USA Today platforms. You can follow me on Twitter at SkinnyKenny with the underscore at the end. The article is on my page as well. And I'm just, you know, very blessed. I'm very thankful. I can't thank, you know, Zach and the people at USA Today enough for that opportunity. And I just can't wait for the next one.
Very, very cool, man. Check that out. Check out everything Kennington does at the Register at the Des Moines Register.com, or just subscribe to the paper. It'll come to your front door, right? That still works. You can still do that. That's going to do it for us here on Hawk Central for this week. I enjoyed the talk as always. If you missed any of it, we talked with Matthew Bain quite a bit about recruiting and name, image, likeness in the first segment. You can find this at HawkCentral.com on the podcast page. Anywhere you get your podcast, just search Hawk Central and we will have it up. Kennington, thank you so much, man. This has been fun as always. We'll do it again next week and keep people informed on Hawkeye sports.
All right, I'm looking forward to the next one. And Hawkeye fans, you know, Big Ten Media Day is right around the corner. Fall camp's right around the corner. So we're about to get rolling. It's going to be an exciting time. I know y'all are looking forward to that in the first two games of the season. I am as well. So, you know, we'll just see what happens in these next few weeks and months. And I can't wait to bring it to you. And I know that you can't wait to see one unfold.
Let's get it going, baby. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it again. Anywhere you get your podcast, Hawk Central. This has been Hawk Central here on 1460 KXNO 106.3 FM and the Des Moines Register. Good night, everybody.